Welcome back. You're listening to The Grumpy Gaze. It just doesn't get worse than this. So a little tidbit for you, Mrs. Grey. That was Frankie Goes to Hollywood with Relax. The three members of the band, in their heyday, of course, lived together on the fifth floor of an apartment building in London.
Just above you, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, I was around there all the time. They were sampling my failed drinks cabinet. One of them used to be an electrician. One of them used to be a carpenter. And the other one was a wood machinist, whatever that is. It just sounds like a glorified carpenter to me. But anywho. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, Mrs. Grey, but I lived in London for quite some time.
No.
And given the state of most apartment buildings in central London, that's actually quite handy to have those skills.
You reckon it was a nice apartment?
I know it was a nice apartment. So, we're back with room 666 this week. Quick precy, room 666 is the room of the devil, and each week we compete with each other, or not, to choose something, a thing, a topic, a person, whatever, that irks us so much that we want to put it into the room of the devil and lock it away forever.
You do realise, Mr. Grey, that I'm taking copies of all of these and I will be using them in our divorce proceedings?
Yeah, well, that'll make you a lot of money, I'm sure.
So this week, Mr. Grey, once again, it's your turn because you've been a little piqued about quite a few things of late. So, and that's piqued, P-I-Q-U-E-D. So what is it that has, I don't know, sent your heckles? Oh, anywho.
We need a thesaurus, people.
We do.
Do you know what I hate? People who get things wrong.
Do you?
But continue. But
what has gotten under your little, oh, whatever. Tell me what's going into room 666.
All right, okay, fine. Well, I was back in the golden era of life, which was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Nice.
I was at the theatre when people were actually able to gather in groups and, you know, pretend that they're having fun. And there were two women having a conversation behind me and, you know, I happened to sort of listen into it. And one woman said to the other woman, well, yes, well, she's left her husband now and she's gone off with a woman. And this piqued my interest, as you say. So I thought, oh, I listened on. And the reaction from her friend was, confused.com. And I just thought, it just made my heart sink. I just thought, I cannot stand people who talk in cliches and sound bites, and often these little catchphrases that they use, they've heard from TV or somebody famous on the television, and they have absolutely no idea what it means, but they just repeat it for the hell of it because they think it makes them clever.
Well, hold on, Mr. Grey. I'm confused.com.
you're a lot of things .com, but I will elaborate. I'm not actually going to be able to match the giddy heights of daytime television. I'm not even going to go for Dante's Nine Layers of Whatever.
I'm sure it's the heady heights. Thank you, giddy.
I think you could use either, actually.
I don't think so.
No? Okay, right. I'm going to start off with people who use certain phrases, particularly in the workplace. So let's call it workplace lingo. Right.
Let's.
So let me just run this up the flagpole, Mrs. Grey. Let's unpack this for a second. You know, when I'm at work, I just don't need to think outside the box to grab the low-hanging fruit because 9 times out of 10, the apple never falls far from the tree. I mean, that's what I bring to the table. That is my value add. Anything else just makes me confused.com because at the end of the day, it is what it is and I just don't have the bandwidth. Okay.
I'm sure you've been told you haven't got the bandwidth many a time in your life, but...
Well, yes, actually. So I wrote a poem about it. I don't think I even need to elaborate on that little one.
No. Move on.
Okay, so the next one is people who adopt language or certain phrases without even knowing what they're saying or why they're saying it. I kind of alluded to that earlier. So one of the examples I can give is that when I lived in the UK...
Drink.
Jamie Oliver was doing a series of programs over there, and he was going around to all the high schools, which still provide lunch to the students in the UK. And he was analysing the sort of food that are being served to the kids of the UK. And he was going on about how there was a lack of nutrition and sort of proper menu planning because they were being fed these things called turkey twizzlers, which are basically bits of old mashed up turkey giblets and whatever, which is then formed into the shape of a twirl, a spiral.
Well, that makes it edible.
Yeah. Crumbed. Well, it makes it look like it's not bits of old turkey giblet. You know.
And deep fried.
Yeah. So you can pick it up and look at it and go, what the hell part of the turkey did that come from? Anyway, it became the root of all evil as far as he was concerned. He kept going on and on about it. And so every time from then on, you'd be having conversations with people, and anything that was bad or to blame in society or whatever, they would say phrases like, oh, well, it's like them turkey twizzlers. In it? And you think, no, it's not like that at all. And I'd look at them and I'd think, do you even know why you're saying that? Or are you saying that because Jamie Oliver told you to say it?
That's pucker.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just despair. Anyway, that's the second point. Oh, I've got to say, though, when I lived in Japan, I think we'd have to start drinking for that as well.
I think we will.
When I lived in Japan, I noticed that the English teaching schools there are even teaching some of these phrases to people who have the advantage of not having them in their own language.
Okay.
So to use one myself, ignorance is bliss, as far as I'm concerned. Best to never introduce these people to such a thing in the first place. That's if they get them right, of course. So there was a girl over there who kept saying to me the words pieces of cake.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, why is she randomly mentioning cake to me all the time? Is this Helsinki? Or you know, is it like a Tourette's trigger? I have no idea what she did. But anyway, then I realised that she'd been taught the phrase, it's a piece of cake, as in it's simple. And she had no idea in what context to use it. So it was kind of fit for all, it seemed.
Pieces of cake, Matt. Pieces of cake.
Pieces of cake. English, pieces of cake. So it can actually be quite funny and endearing when it's actually not done properly. But anyway, another thing is words that go together that have no place in the English language going together.
Okay.
So think of things like back in the day.
Right.
That's not a properly formed sentence. It's a big ask.
Right.
Ask is never a noun. Oh, and this one. Oh, my God. And I actually saw it on the TV last night. Mum bub.
Well, that's just laziness.
Oh, but it's always on the news. And, like, nobody in professional journalism should ever say the words mum bub. No professional broadcasting capacity should allow that. And I can say it on this show because we're not professional.
So that would be Matt and Helen.
Matt and Helen. I think it's the word bub. There must be words that really irk you, Helen, surely.
Well, Mr. Gray, let's workshop this prior to running it up the flagpole to see if the wind catch our sails and gives us a hole in one in the course of hell.
That's a very lesbian interpretation of what we're talking about here, but yes, okay.
Absolutely. Look, yes, these things irk me, but my particular favourite is the use of a word that should not be in a well-constructed sentence. Okay. So my particular favourite here is like.
Ah, like filler words.
Well, yes and no. When someone says something of that using like to me, so say a small person comes up to me and says, not that small people tend to talk to me because I usually leave them in tears. But
small people.
Children, Matt. Oh. Children.
So, where you were going with that.
You know, so say a young Theodore comes up and says something to me, and my response to young Theodore is, no, Theodore, your ham sandwich wasn't like really, really boss. It was simply really, really boss. No, you brainless fart. Your eyelashes are like really, really pretty. To be honest, you look like a dime store hooker who has been in the business a little bit too long. However, I digress. Your eyelashes are either really, really pretty or, put simply, they're not. Okay. There is no like about this.
Okay. Is this an actual quote that you've learnt from somebody?
No. Which?
Well, all of that.
No, these are things that get regularly said in everyday life. You know, you're talking to some, I don't know, tween or if you must.
Or dime store hooker.
Or dime store hooker. And it's like just the best experience ever.
Okay, so you made up that little dialogue from out of your head, did you?
Yes.
It's the voices in there, Helen.
Actually, the dime store hooker.
Absolutely. It's the dime store hooker inside of you waiting to get out.
With really, really long eyelashes.
I am slightly concerned, though, that you actually think the word like is worse than the word boss. But there you go. Well, that's actually, it's funny that you should say that, because my next one was words overly misused. A prime candidate for that is literally, the word literally. Got to be the most misused, overly used word ever. So, like, you see things like talent show interviews, X Factor, that sort of thing. You've got some kid of 19 and they interview him and he's just about to go into the semi-final and they say, what will happen if you don't get this? And he says, well, this is life or death for me now. Literally. Literally, no. Because I look at it and I go, wow, so talent shows these days. I didn't realise the stakes were so high. $1 million recording contract for the winner, firing squad for everybody else. Literally.
Literally.
A couple of these things, I'm sort of hoping that the current pandemic crisis may result in eradicating some of these cliches from our vernacular. I mean, there has to be a positive, doesn't there?
Oh, well, I think so, yes.
So let's socialise that. Well, no, not in these crazy times. Let's take this offline. Very difficult to do these days. Let's take this outside. Not unless you want a fine.
Or you live in New South Wales or Queensland. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Look, Mr. Gray, based on that, I think we can both agree that your friend and mine, the good old Beelzebub, is opening the door nice and wide, and he's certainly putting tonight's little endeavour, little effort of cliches and sound bites and people who talk in them into room 666.
Yeah,
congratulations.
I'm on a roll.
And you are.
And hey, Mrs. Gray.
Yes.
Don't go changing. Coming up, we're taking a dodgy trip care of Helen. Beware the handsome stranger. First, though, a bit of Pet Shop Boys. We're going west. We'll be right back.
shade. We will find a place where there's so much space.